All right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai Microing in Progress. How the fuck are you doing, Kush?
I'm doing great. Are we doing this now?
Yeah, we're right into it. God okay. Damn. I was listening to the Kush Hayes show, which I enjoy, because I'm trying to crib notes on UFC betting. But also, too, at the time, you did not sound enthused to go see a certain morgue movie. And it sounds like that non-enthusedness continued through the viewing.
Yeah. My enthusiasm for this movie, the morale for this movie started going down when I saw that four-letter word attached to this, and that is Sony.
Trouble.
Yeah. To give it credit, it's better than Slender Man, which is
okay.
Spoiler alert, is going to be this year's worst movie of 2018. Ooh.
Did that come out already?
That came out back in August.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
There's a Zero Blueberries review for it on KushandKai.com right now. It's definitely coming up in the end of year review in the next few weeks.
Oh, my gosh. I could check the website more. You didn't even breathe a word about that one. Was that based on that true story, or was that the one that was, the true story that was where the girls like killed each other?
That would have made it an interesting movie. No, it wasn't.
It was just the straight legend of Slender Man off 4chan. That's what, the creepypasta.
Oh, good stuff. And they tried to make up stuff as they went along. And on top of that, they decided to turn the contrast down. So it's literally just dark and dark blue.
Oh.
And that's what this movie, The Possession of Hannah Grace, did. Like, it's trying to be a spooky movie, I get it, but you don't need to kill your saturation. On top of that, what makes a good horror movie good?
Control the saturation, as we know.
is making it somewhat believable. So when this injured cop or whatever her job is, I don't know if she was assigned to the morgue or she's just like, I'm on suspension, I got to get paid, I need this job in the morgue. Doesn't matter what time of day you're working in the morgue, they're not going to let you work alone because you have to carry bodies at some point. Or at least this 98-pound woman does. Okay? And
what year was this? What year did this happen?
The morgue movie?
Yeah, what era does this take place? Is it
present day? Present day.
And you were saying it happens in Boston.
Boston, yes.
I imagine they have some active morgues.
I would imagine they also have some active morgues. They'll probably at least employ two people and at least keep the lights on all the time. They're doing this bullshit where motion sensors just keep the lights on. So if no one's walking around, the hallway is just dark. Everything is dark and it's...
Oh, Studio Studio 1330 had the motion-activated sensors.
That's true, but we were also not supposed to be at Studio 1330 after hours. That was just something we were taking advantage of. This is an operating facility.
That is part of it. But I mean, it's a part of a medical / like police facility.
Yes.
They would need, there's security cameras on. Although it's more stark, too. I mean, that does make it creepier because I was there at night sometimes. And you just notice a light go on down the hall. You're like, oh, shit, I thought I was here myself. So that's creepy shit.
At one point,
so how many blueberries did you give that one?
Oh, I gave that one blueberry. It's not good. And I just want to add one more thing. If you're ever at work, it doesn't matter if you're a secretary, if you're a security guard, if you're a mortician, if the crazy homeless protagonist is trying to kill the devil, ends up stabbing you while you're on the job. It doesn't matter if you're 1 hour into your shift or 7.5 hours into your shift. They send you home. They don't stitch you up and send you back into the field to do more work. You go home for the rest of the day. Maybe you don't get paid. Maybe you do. But you don't just like, oh, yeah. Right.
That's a definite. That's a definite, like, you're just punch a ticket, buddy. Let's just send you back for today, you know? Go microwave a lean cuisine and put your feet up. You're done. There you go.
So that's The Possession of Hannah Grace.
Oh, boy.
One blueberry. It's not good. But it was the only
thing. It earned a blueberry.
It earned a blueberry for trying.
A blueberry. Well, there you go. Something that you had brought up before, you had been following the series on Netflix of the Marvelverse that seems to be petering out on the Netflixes. R.I.P. Yeah, I heard the Daredevil is on its way out.
Daredevil's on its way out following the likes of Luke Cage and Iron Fist. I don't have any details in front of me. All I've seen is the spin on it. They're saying the series is canceled, but that the character will appear in quote-unquote more Marvel properties. Now, that obviously means it's comic books.
What Marvel property, what shows do they have still cooking over there?
They still have Jessica Jones. They still have The Punisher. Predictions are now that they'll just run those final two seasons out and just everything will be canceled. But doesn't mean Daredevil couldn't pop up in either one of those. Doesn't mean they couldn't, they're not trying to spin off a new Marvel property, as talked about before, The Daughters of the Dragon. Or Heroes for Hire. They're just saying this series we've done with Daredevil himself is done. That's all they've said.
Do you think that the who is Marvel at Netflix? Because who owns the Marvel? Is that all? Are all those characters Disney still?
I mean, Disney is owned by Marvel, and Marvel still owns those characters. However, they are licensed out to Netflix.
They're licensed to Netflix. Because I know there's with the X-Men, there's that 20th century thing, and then Spider-Man was wrestled away.
Same thing.
A different way.
Same thing. There's always been speculation about these four characters being a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's only been speculation. It's never been confirmation. Netflix series always talk about an incident with aliens. That's they're talking about the events of the first Avengers, but they never say that one time Captain America punched a bitch.
That would put us right there. That would put me right there. Do you think this could be happening because, I mean, they're going to reboot some shows or restart some stuff over on the, what was it? What's the Disney streaming thing called?
I think it's just called Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, D Plus. D plus. Yeah. You'll be on D plus programming.
Below average. Below performance average.
Barely hanging on. I mean, it could be just a prepared thing that they're moving. You know what I mean? They're just getting ready to move them over. You know what I mean?
If they do,
Disney's already on the exodus.
If Daredevil does show up on the new Disney streaming service, it won't be this Daredevil. It'll be I'm speculating it'll be a different actor and it'll be a toned down version. We won't get people's heads caved in with door jams, if you follow me.
Aww.
We won't get the
that's skull what crush. That's what the people want though.
That's
well, maybe it'll just move over to the maybe it'll move over to the Hulu, or you know what I mean? Cuz they're going to have wasn't the plan that they're going to have like the sports, the D plus students watching the main properties and the Pixars, and then they were going to have Hulu for their other stuff.
The content that's already been created will still stay on Netflix. That's not going anywhere for a couple.
Already been created. It's like ABC gum. Yeah. ABC already been created. Already been chewed.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
That's where it's from. All right. Well, how do you feel about that? Do you think that was a fitting way? You're just it's silly.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to see Daredevil on Netflix, if not in a rerun in a new series, just as a guest star. Traditional TV is no longer a thing. We don't, just because something was successful doesn't mean they're going to keep it around. And just because something is unsuccessful.
Isn't that weird? It's like
back.
Yeah, and then everything dies and then comes back now. So it's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the last episode of The Love Boat where it's like, oh, it's gone now. You know?
Anything, that was a thing once upon a time. But The Love Boat has come back in two other iterations, just as an example. But yeah, nothing, as you pointed out many moons ago, Kai, nothing stays dead. So,
At the time, it was like, things stayed dead back then. Mm-hmm. This is really, I mean, there's a zombie parable here where it's like, yeah, no, all these properties, they once passed, and it's like, they rise up from the ground, you know, like the dust falling out, they come back to dominate the media landscape.
Or maybe we're taking over European television formatting where that story was done, and now we're in this new series with, what's your boy, Luther? And the former UK office, like Sherlock Holmes keeps coming back. Doctor Who is a thing.
Well, I could go for Idris Elba starring in all of those things, but that's actually, he was in the U.S. office, so that was good stuff.
Yes, he was.
Netflix's statement was, Marvel's Daredevil will not return for a fourth season on Netflix. Right. We're tremendously proud of the show's last and final season, and although it's painful for fans, we feel it best to close the chapter on a high note. Okay? Thankful to the partners at Marvel, showrunner Eric Olson, and it goes on, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for everybody. So, yeah, they're like, yeah, people like it. Sorry. Who cares?
Yeah. It's our world.
Was the show, because I didn't see past the first season, but it didn't even look like that expensive of a show to do. It was looked pretty limited, and you know, it was
as far as sets go,
courtroom.
As far as sets goes, you know, pretty much just a sound stage. But that show had a lot of fight choreography going on, and lots of camera angles, and they were definitely doing good shit in it. I like the third season a lot that we just ended with. And yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of Daredevil on Netflix.
Well, maybe he shall rise again, much like the Phoenix that is colored similarly to him.
There you go.
Jumping to another story real quick. Ricky Jay, dead at 72, magician, actor, friend of Mamet. And secretive magicians everywhere.
Red Belt. Kai's favorite movie, Red Belt.
Star of Red. Indeed. I'm bummed. He was such a unique kind of character. He was a magician's magician, but then like didn't like to perform for other magicians. He did a lot of like one-on-one work with people. A lot of stories baked into his stuff. He was a historian of magic. He would collect as many like books and antiques of things and illusions as he could do. He left such an like indelible mark on filmmaking too, where he created, I forget the clever name of the company, but it was like Misgranted Vision or something. But they would make props and other things and help create illusions. And he did, you know, any movie with magic in it. He was a consultant. His name pops up as a consultant in there. Like interesting, weird guy. And 72 seems young, but they listed natural causes as for death. But a real loss.
Like, he was a smoker, right? I'm sorry, I was under the impression he was a smoker.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that would make more sense for dead at 70. Although he looked rough like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like he put some intense, he looks like he put a lot of stress smiles on himself, like intense sort of focus. And so I don't think you can achieve some of the feats that you could without doing that, or that he did without doing that. But he put some miles on that frame of his. We will miss you, Ricky Jay. Great stuff. Oh, he was in, I think he had a turn in Boogie Nights too. He was in that.
Okay.
Dozens and dozens of projects, but,
he was definitely a that guy.
He was a that guy. We were all, yeah, go look him up, enjoy him. We were all the better for having his presence in things. All right. Moving along here. I wanted to alert you, Kush, there's another, CU cropping up because the Kingsman prequel is happening and they're shooting the Kingsman 3, which happens. That means we have a Kingsman verse materializing before us. Okay. They're going. And the prequel is going to be a period piece back in time as well. As well as the third one taking place, not terribly distant future, but that'd be great if they just went all in and did like 300 years in the future. Hmm. Another Kingsman that just had no bearing. Maybe that would look like Artemis Fowl. I had dubbed Artemis Fowl. Yeah,
you called that Junior Kingsman.
Yeah, it was a Kingsman Kids Underworld. That looks like.
There you go.
That's what he's in. Yeah, he's got a magic shotgun. Kids with shotguns, Disney. Thank you.
I keep seeing a JPEG.
That's what we all wanted. Everybody, come to DC.
He's wearing the sunglasses and he's got the code going up and I keep seeing the guy from Sneakers. And I was like, oh, this is his prequel. Like,
nice.
So that would be nice.
That's what, yeah. Sneakers prequel.
Yeah. I saw the first Kingsman. I liked it all the way up until that church massacre. And then for some reason, I just went super sour on that movie, and I've never looked back. Tried watching Kingsman 2 a couple months ago at the cousin's house, and we both fell asleep. Like, at one point, I woke up, I was like, oh, that's looking like a what could be a well-constructed action scene. And I haven't gone back. So
I thought, yeah, I mean, I remember the church scene. I was laughing at how over the top it was. Mm-hmm. And then there was some fun action in there. And then the second one, I think I had I recorded it off Showtime or something. It was playing in the background. I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm glad it, look, I'm not going to besmirch an action movie that, like, they look like they really go for it in some of these sequences. So, like, great, good stuff. But I'm not going to go Fast and Furious on this and declare anything about their fan bases. But I will, I wasn't super into it. But is this is just the trend. Nobody can say no to be, like, if there's even remotely a chance they can make a couple of bucks, it's like, oh, we're going to make 7 more. This is, if we can carry it, that's just what we need to do.
I'd rather than make
there's no, that's
sequel to Kick-Ass then, if that's what they're going to do, because I think Kick-Ass...
They did. They made a sequel to Kick-Ass.
Yeah, Kick-Ass 2. I'm sorry, I wish they'd make a third one.
Did that make a lot less money than the first one?
Of course, but so did Kingsman 2.
Did it?
Yeah.
What are the numbers here? We're going to compare.
Sure. We can look that up.
Well, let's look this up here. Wait, you look up Kick-Ass. I look up Kingsman here. Here we go.
Okey-dokey.
There might be a pause in the show, but we will for the okay. Kingsman. Let's see. Lifetime gross. Is that just U.S.?
Yeah.
Worldwide. Holy shit, look at that. Okay. Kingsman, The Secret Service. That's the first one, right? Yes. 2015. Worldwide gross, $414 million. Holy cow.
Okay.
Kingsman Golden Circle, worldwide gross, $410 million.
Wow, so just
so they like... they didn't hit it, but, I mean, they cleared the 400 million mark worldwide. So, what about Kick-Ass? What did that do?
Significantly lower on both of them. Worldwide gross for Kick-Ass was 96 million, and Kick-Ass 2, 60 million.
Okay. So, all right. Doesn't that right there kind of point to, like, if Kick-Ass had made...
I stand corrected, yeah.
I dig. So, I mean, I guess that's just what, I guess it's an honor too. You know what I mean? Like, if you get, if you hit the target, then it's like, oh no, of course you'll make another movie. These characters aren't yours anymore. They're America's, and you have to live with that, I guess. Jeez. Well, I guess we all don't get to decide if we want to live in the Kingsmanverse, but,
what's good, y'all? Kush Hayes here, just cutting in. We went a little long on this week's microdose, so this will be a two-parter. I just wanted to take the time out before we go and thank everyone who contributed to our St. Jude's fundraising campaign. I don't have the exact number in front of us, but we were able to raise a good chunk of money, and I know they'll appreciate it. We sincerely appreciate it. Thank you if you donated. Thank you if you're one of our sponsors. And remember, if you did donate to our campaign, you're eligible to receive a prize from one of these sponsors, as we've mentioned on a previous podcast. So keep tuning in to Kush and Kai, and we will start issuing those out sooner than later. Thanks for tuning into this week's Microdose. Remember, Sunday we're going to be releasing Jim Henson's Labyrinth. So that should be a good time. Check it out, and see you in a couple days. thebosley.net.
Sit, Bosley, sit.
No.